You're listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Katie. We're librarians at the Central Library.
Although for now, we're recording from home, following the governor's March 30th stay-at-home directions.
Yes, we're working from home while JMRL is closed to help prevent the contribution of the spread of COVID-19 in our area, which means this episode is a little bit different.
That's right. We've had to cancel a lot of programs that we would have liked to record and share with you, so instead we've invited our colleagues from all across the JMRL system to tell us about what they've been reading.
Hopefully, this will help you find downloadable audiobooks and ebooks to enjoy while JMRL is closed. But before we get to those reading recommendations, we've got book chat.
All right, book chat. Katie, what did you read?
Right, so I am probably the last person on this planet that has read or finally read An American Marriage by Tayari Jones.
So good.
It's so good. Yeah, and it's been on my to be read. Or to read list for a long, long time. It's just one I never got around to. So I'm using this time at home to get through some books that I've been meaning to read. And that was the first one that I dove into. And I'm really glad I did. So for the two people out there who haven't read the book yet, give you a quick synopsis. So it is it's about a young African-American couple. Their names are Roy and Celestial Hamilton. And so the story takes place. They've been married for about a year, and they're both like up and coming people in their profession. Roy is a sales rep and Celestial is an artist, and they're living in Atlanta, and they are visiting Roy's family in Louisiana, and they're staying at a motel, and through the course of the different series of events, Roy is mistakenly and wrongfully convicted of a horrific crime, and he's sent to jail. It's like 12 years is the sentence. So what follows is they're, you know, trying to deal with this horrific tragedy that's happened, but at the same time keep, you know, living in a sense. And so what Jones does is she follows their marriage and how it transpires in the coming years. And I think one really interesting technique that she uses is she switches the narrative or the point of view perspective, if you will. So we hear from Roy for a while and then Celestial, and then a third character who's named Andre, and he's a childhood friend of Celestial and then a college friend of Roy. And his role in the story, So she changes the point of view and rotates with these three people. And it's kind of fascinating because you sort of change change who I identified the most with when you see their side of the story. And so it's a really interesting story about the effect of a wrongful conviction. So there's a lot of great commentary on the justice system in our country right now. But also just as a story in itself, it kind of leaves you with lingering questions where you're wondering like, well, what would the Roy and Celestial's marriage, what would have looked like if, you know, he hadn't been wrongfully convicted. And so it's definitely stayed with me for a while and would recommend if you haven't gotten your hands on it, that it's not too late.
Definitely. My favorite thing about that book is that I've heard Tayari Jones talking about it, and she said the inspiration came from just overhearing the conversation between a couple and being like, oh, I know what the backstory to that is.
Yes, exactly. I just heard that interview. Yeah, because I was listening to her talk about the writing process about the book. Yeah, but yeah, it was so crazy. She just heard a couple and that sort of just, yeah, and the book took over from there.
She's amazing author. Okay, so I read something that is a little bit less heavy. I read Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. And this was a book that I picked up a few weeks ago before the library closed. But I do know that we have it as a downloadable audiobook. So still accessible. Anyway, I picked it up because everything I had been reading, both fiction and nonfiction, had been really kind of bumming me out. So this was recommended to me as something that would definitely be different and most importantly, not be a bummer. So it's kind of an odd novel. In it, Lillian is, she's like in her early 30s and she's kind of shaken from a bleak daily routine where she lives in her mother's attic and doesn't really have a lot to look forward to, by an invitation from her old high school friend, Madison, to come and work for her. And the job she ends up finding out is to care for her friend's stepchildren, who are twins, who are coming to live with her and her husband, who is a senator, after the kind of tragic death of their mother. But so her husband's a senator with kind of higher political aspirations. So Lillian's job is to kind of keep the kids cared for and out of the public eye and out of the news, which seems pretty easy until you find out that they just kind of spontaneously combust anytime they experience like heightened emotions. So, like I said, kind of odd. Yeah, so it's kind of a weird story, but it's like super engaging and at times hilarious. And it, you know, ended up being kind of exactly what I needed to get out of my own kind of reading a lot of bummers rut. So I enjoyed it a lot. And it was very different than anything I usually read. So, yeah. Well, funny and, if not lighthearted, at times lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, I read that a couple months ago. I think like right when we changed the clocks around or something. So yeah, I was kind of feeling in a funk and needed something, you know, lighter. And, but yeah, and it's hysterical. It's really, really funny. Yeah. So
yeah, it was great. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we are going to turn it over to a wide variety of our colleagues to tell us about what they've been reading.
Hi, this is Ginny Reese. I'm coming to you from the Greene County branch. Today I'm reviewing for you Dominicana by Angie Cruz, published in September 2019 by Flatiron Books of Macmillan. This book is an Alex Award winner this year, which means it's an adult book that's also good for teen audiences. It's a crossover book. It is 1965, and Anna Concion, a 15-year-old girl from a large family in a small village in the Dominican Republic, has just been married to Juan Ruiz, twice her age, and a man she does not love or even like. Anna, who must pretend to be a dutiful daughter, is a pawn in her mother's game. Mama is determined that Anna's marriage to Juan will be the lucky break that will get the entire family to New York. There they can work and fulfill the dream of life in America, escaping their backward lives and economic poverty in DR. Anna is expected to sacrifice her own desires and dreams of love with her schoolmate and only real friend outside of her family, Gabrielle. When Anna is brought to New York by her new husband, who works at the racetrack and has 1,000 other side gigs to make money, she finds herself imprisoned in her 6th-floor Washington Heights neighborhood apartment. She is not allowed to go out except to the grocery and must never open the door to anyone if Juan is not home, unless it is to a client interested in buying a men's suit fallen from the department store delivery trucks, one of the side gigs. She certainly must never go into the bodega next door to speak to the Cuban employee who is friendly to her when Juan takes her. Anna finds her husband to be brutish and sometimes violent. He leaves her for hours alone in the apartment and comes home late, drunk, and smelling of another woman's perfume. Her hopes of learning English, going to school, and someday becoming a professional seem further away than ever. She calms herself by cooking wonderful meals from her home country, feeding the pigeons on the fire escape, and gazing out the window and wondering at the New York life going on in the streets below. She waits on Juan when he is at home, and when he is not, she cleans and mends his clothes. In bed, she submits, cringing at the touch of this man she cannot be attracted to, following her mother's coaching, even when she learns that Juan is in love with his mistress, the Puerto Rican Caridad. Soon enough, Anna realizes she is carrying Juan's child. But then, Juan is called back to the Dominican Republic to protect the family business as the country slides into political violence, a coup, and the inevitable American invasion. Ana is left in the care of Juan's young, free-spirited brother, Cesar, with whom she finally escapes her apartment prison and finally discovers the wonders of New York. Cesar is everything Juan can never be. What will happen to Ana and the contract she is bound to through family expectations when she and Cesar fall in love? This is a classic immigrant story conveyed through nuanced characters, realistic details, and finely articulated drama, and all the trademarks of arrival of a non-English speaker: confusion, fear, discrimination, growing pains, and the exhilaration of life in New York. This is the best book I have read in a long while. Check it out. It will make you feel something and understand something that maybe you didn't before.
Hi, my name is Tish. I work part-time at the Gordon Avenue Library. The book I want to recommend is entitled For Everyone by Jason Reynolds, and it's available as an audiobook in Libby. How I came to listen to this book is a story in itself. First, in January, the young adult specialist and branch manager at Gordon Avenue Library introduced JMRL staff to Book Riot's Read Harder Challenge. This challenge, which can be found at bookriot.com, provides a list of 24 categories to help round out your reading. One of the categories was audiobook of poetry. As I was searching for a book to fit this category, I saw Jason Reynolds' audiobook and remembered that I had enjoyed listening to him speak at last year's Virginia Festival of the Book. For Everyone is only 25 minutes long, but will stay with you for a lifetime. Jason details his dreams of being a writer from his perspective as a 16-year-old, then 18-year-old, and finally a 25-year-old. He vacillates between doubt and confidence. Most heartening is that we know in the end he succeeds in his quest to be a writer, as evidenced by his many accolades, including, but not limited to, New York Times bestselling author and recipient of both the Newbery and Prince Awards. I highly suggest this audiobook to inspire you to dream big. Enjoy!
Hello, this is Nina Wright, the branch assistant from the Greene County Library. I just listened to the best book for the second time. It is called The 13th Tale by Diane Setterfield. Imagine a modern gothic tale. Margaret is a bookseller's daughter. Her past is a mystery. Then there is Vida Winter, a reclusive, uber-famous author who must confront the demons of her past. Will Vida write her missing 13th tale? Will Margaret unearth her deepest secrets? You will only find out by listening to this intriguing novel, performed by Bianca Amato and Jill Tanner. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Alan Van Cleef, the Bookmobile Specialist. If you like animal adventures and are a cat lover, you will surely enjoy Aaron Hunter's series, The Warriors. This series begins with the first book called Into the Wild, a kitty pet, as the clan cats rather derisively call the humans' tame cats. Rusty gets accosted when he encroaches on one of the clan's cat territories. These two cats get to know one another. Rusty decides that he wants to become one of the cats of the clans. He joins the clan. He becomes an apprentice, learns the culture and the mores of the clan. He is given a new name. There are many adventures and sometimes battles between the other clans. You will learn Rusty's new name if you read this book, and I have a feeling that you will want to read further. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Meredith, and I'm the collection manager for JMRL. I'd like to tell you about a book that I read recently and enjoyed. It's called Miss Treadway and the Field of Stars by Miranda Emerson. This is an incisive literary intrigue set off by the disappearance of American actress Iolanthe Green in 1960s London. The police are slow to investigate, and her dresser at the theater, Anna Treadway, doesn't think they're doing enough, so she starts some amateur sleuthing of her own. Along the way, she's joined by Aloysius, a Jamaican immigrant who serves as an accountant for various jazz clubs and underground establishments, Otmar, a soft-hearted Turkish refugee from Cyprus who runs a cafe with his family, and Detective Sergeant Hayes, who has shed his Irish name at work, but not at home. Why has this woman disappeared? Has she met with foul play? Has she chosen to end her life? Or just run away from public view? And if so, why? And why does Anna feel so compelled to track down the truth? As we unspool these threads, we encounter a great sense of place and time, including historically rooted bigotry against various groups that leads each character to moments of selfish disregard where you cannot believe they just said that, but also in turn moments of grace that redeem them. This book was richer in those moments than I thought it would be, but also the plot moves forward in a progressive shifts of points of view that keep you turning the pages and reveal in syncopation what secret desires each character might have to relinquish to survive.
Hi, this is Haley Tompkins, and I'm the Crozet Library Branch Manager, and I'm here to recommend to you Happiness for Beginners by Catherine Center. I'll also say that although this was the first novel of hers that I read, I went on a bit of a Catherine Center binge afterward. It was that good, and everything that I read of hers afterward has also been phenomenal. I listened to this as an audiobook that I downloaded from Libby or Overdrive, and JMRL also has a lot of her books on Libby in both audiobook and ebook format. And some are available right now. So Happiness for Beginners is about a woman named Helen who is recently divorced and decides to sign up for a 3-week wilderness survival course in Wyoming to find herself, despite the fact that she's not really an outdoorsy or an adventurous type. She comes to learn that her younger brother's annoying best friend Jake is also coming on the trip and is sort of strong-armed into driving him into this survival course across the country on top of it. Throughout the course of the road trip and their survival course, she comes to learn a lot about herself and what she's really made of. This is great if you're looking for a light read with a little romance in it, but also a book that has some complex characters that are really likable and are easy to root for. This book is a lot of fun and a very satisfying read, and I highly recommend Happiness for Beginners by Catherine Center.
Hi, I'm Michelle Eric. I'm the Young Adult Specialist at the Greene County Library. If you're looking for a young adult novel with a feel-good story, try Dumplin' by Julie Murphy. Clover City, Texas teen Willowdeen Dixon has always been full of self-confidence. Whether she's singing along to her favorite Dolly Parton songs with her best friend Ellen, or heading to the pool on a sweltering afternoon, she's never worried much about how she looks. Her beauty pageant-obsessed mother calls her Dumplin' because she is overweight. She worries that Willowdeen will turn out like her Aunt Lucy, whose weight kept her a homebody until her untimely death. Will's friendship with Ellen is changing this summer, as Elle gets closer to her boyfriend, Tim. Will takes a summer job in the local fast food place and meets athletic and popular private school Beau. Will develops a crush, and to her surprise, Beau flirts with her and wants to spend time with her each night after they close up the restaurant. The further things go in their relationship, the more Willowdeen starts to doubt her own body. What if Beau is grossed out when he touches her? Why does he only want to hang out with her late at night in isolated places? Frustrated by her own self-consciousness, Willowdeen sets out to regain her sense of self by doing the extreme. She enters the Miss Teen Bluebonnet pageant, the same one once won and now organized by her own mother. Can this leap of faith and glitter restore Will's confidence? Will she find words of inspiration in a Dolly Parton song? Will her friendships and love life withstand the ups and downs of pageant preparations? Read Dumplin' by Julie Murphy and meet this girl with a heart and a personality as big as Texas. Check Overdrive for both the ebook and digital audiobook versions.
Hello, JMRL patrons. My name is Nancy, and I work at the Crozet Library in Branch Support. I'd like to share the book Ordinary Grace by William Kent Kruger, which won the Edgar Award and the Anthony Award for Best Novel in 2014. Ordinary Grace, a standalone novel, is a book beautifully written that keeps you wanting to read more and is therefore really hard to put down. Full of twists and turns, It is the story of many secrets, lies, adultery, and loss that comes in many forms. The story is set in the 1960s in a small town in Minnesota. The storyteller and main character, Frank Drum, is a 13-year-old son of a Methodist minister. He expects the summer to be as it always has been, something he's really looked forward to. However, the story begins with a tragedy. This tragedy, followed by others, teaches Frank how to depend on the grace we find in life. This book will stay with you long after you've finished it. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
I'm Tim Carrier, Young Adult Services Manager. I work at the Central Library, and I'm here to share The Last Day of Summer by Lamar Giles. Do you love adventures? For cousins Otto and Sheed, summer vacation is a great time to have some fun and wacky experiences during the days away from school. They're known in their small Virginia town for unraveling mysteries using their superior powers of deduction. Well, now the summer's winding down and tomorrow's the first day of school. If they could only make that last day stretch out a little longer so they could do some more zany sleuthing, that would be awesome. But Otto and she don't count on a mysterious man named Mr. Flux showing up with his weird camera and telling the guys that it'll capture the best time of their lives. He takes their picture and gives them the camera to take a picture of their town. Then they discover that this camera has the ability to freeze time. Everything and everyone in town is frozen, stuck. And Otto and Sheed have to figure out how to get time moving again. They may have wanted the day to last longer, but if they don't figure out how to fix things, it could last forever. Find out what they're up against in this adventure by Lamar Giles, titled The Last Day of Summer.
Hey there, everybody. This is Wynn. You would usually see me behind the desk at the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And today I am here to tell you about a book called The Big Bad Book of Botany, The World's Most Fascinating Flora by Michael Largo. And I know it sounds like a reference book, and actually it is. It's a big, huge list of plants and trees and funguses and stuff that are all out in alphabetical order. By the way, I do know it's fungi, not funguses. But the best thing about this is that it is actually incredibly fun to read. It's just got the weirdest stuff you ever wanted to know in a really readable format. For example, it starts with absinthe and it goes all the way through to the Z's, which is Zabrowka, which I'd never even heard of, but is actually a kind of sweetgrass that is used for making vodka and has a really incredible history. Now, this book is awesome, both because it includes food and poisons and trees and stuff that just looks weird or tastes weird or smells weird, but it also includes weird information about stuff that you see every day, like broccoli and potatoes. But what it also has is, like, it has outdoor stuff, it has indoor stuff, sure, but it has a lot of history, which is the part I like. Like, I didn't actually know the history of, for example, agave. Did you know that they used to fight wars over it? It has literally started wars. And the fact that there are over 200 different types of agave, and some of them live 500 feet above sea level, and that the alcohol that we all love, tequila, that comes from agave, actually doesn't even come from the leaves. The leaves are actually edible, and people used to use them as food. It comes from this thing called a piña, which kind of looks like a root, like a turnip, that comes out right in the middle and can weigh hundreds of pounds all on its own. Who knew, right? Anyway, this is available on Freeding, so you can get it anytime you want to read it, and you can read it cover to cover, you can jump around in it, you can just read a couple pages. It is also available in hard copy when the libraries reopen. Take care and stay safe and healthy.
This is Nina Wright, the branch assistant from the Greene County Library. I just read the best book, Olive Again by Elizabeth Strout, published in 2019. This collection of 13 related stories takes place in a small down east Maine town. Olive Kittredge is a strange, ordinary older woman who affects people's lives in her no-nonsense New England way. Strout's first book about Olive won her a Pulitzer Prize, and I immediately fell back into love with Olive reading this second installment. However, one must not need to have read this first book to enjoy Olive again. Having family in Down East Maine, I really felt at home with the scenery, the people, the hominess, and the love Olive has trouble sharing with her fellow Down Easters. Enjoy this book. Bye-bye.
I'm Sarah Hanfelt. I work at the Central Library as the head of Adult and Reference Services, and my recommendation is poetry, specifically two volumes that you can download and listen to today. The first is Ordinary Hazards by Nikki Grimes, and it's a memoir of her young adulthood, which makes sense because she frequently writes for young adults, and you can find that on RB Digital. And the second is We Speak Your Names by Pearl Clegg, and that you can find on Overdrive. They're both read by the authors, and I think a good way to get into poetry is to hear the authors speak them out loud themselves. You get a better sense of the rhythm and the rhyme. I also like poetry right now because you can read them in short bursts. If you don't have a long attention span, if your attention is being dragged in multiple different directions, you can dip in and out of the poetry. But both of these books have a through line, so it's almost reading like prose. They're telling one long story. April is Poetry Month, and the JMRL Poetry Contest is still going on. It's just moved digital, and you can find submission forms at jmrl.org. And the Poem in Your Pocket Committee is working to make that digital as well, so at the end of the month, we hope to have poems that you can collect yourself.
A big thank you to all of our wonderful colleagues for sharing their time with us to talk about what they've been reading. Getting to hear from so many different people definitely makes social distancing feel a little bit less isolating.
It really does. An additional thanks to Sarah for highlighting National Poetry Month. As she mentioned, we do celebrate poetry every April, so we will link to relevant information in our show notes. In particular, we extended the deadline for our poetry contest so you can enter submissions throughout April.
As of the time of this recording, JMRL will be closed through at least April 24th. At this time, all book drops are still open and our downloadable and streaming materials are available, as they always are. Additionally, Wi-Fi is still on at every branch, and we've boosted the signal where possible to make it easy to use from the parking lot.
Right, and any physical items you may have checked out will not be due until after JMRL opens. Likewise, any materials that are on hold for you will remain on hold for you until after we open. The ability to place holds on physical items has been temporarily suspended while we're closed. We will include links in our show notes to two frequently updated pages related to the COVID-19 outbreak, one of which includes a long list of freely available online resources.
This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. Unfortunately, due to the COVID-19 outbreak, the Friends of the Library have postponed their spring sale until a not yet determined time, but we will continue to keep you updated as we find out more.
Right, so please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to the podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcasts@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more content. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.